Fashion Tech Applied is published. My co-authored book taking you through 6 chapters and covering the technologies and innovations powering the fashion industry. I'm Peter Jun Ho Sang, founder and CEO of Beyond Form, and welcome to the special podcast series Applied. Each episode, I'll be sitting down with incredible fashion tech professionals that are featured inside the book. On today's episode, I'm sitting down with Olga Dogakina, co-founder and CEO of Imperia, a platform that builds virtual stores and spaces for fashion brands. When I interviewed Olga for the book, the first thing that she said to me was, "Don't you remember me, Peter?" And in all honesty, I didn't. However, she quickly reminded me that she was indeed one of my previous students at LCF. So what a surprise, and of course, what a joy it was for me to be able to talk about how she sees the future of fashion retail, including virtual stores. Since launching Imperia, she has now worked with mega brands such as Harrods, Dior, Ralph Lauren, Burberry, and the list just goes on. However, of course, those relationships took time to cultivate, especially with tech that yet hadn't been proven.
Usually, by that point, we would have a really open relationship, and at the same time, we're very much working towards building this trust where we can say, hey, look, this entry video, whatever is happening in the beginning, is losing a lot of traffic, so we can actually remove it and restructure the experience in a matter of a couple hours and remove the issue.
Let's get to the conversation with Olga on this episode of Venturing into Fashion Tech. How are you today, Olga?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule, because you have a lot of virtual store projects happening, I know, at the moment, out of your day to come and do this podcast recording with us. So today's episode is all about virtual stores and what you're doing at Imperia. You're featured in chapter 5 of the book, all about retail. But before we get stuck into the conversation, I just want to give some context to our listeners. So the global virtual reality in retail market size is projected to reach $24.4 billion by 2031. So it's going to be a huge industry with a compound annual growth rate of 25.8% during 23 to 2031, according to Straits Research. Many fashion brands from high street to luxury, such as Bloomingdale's, J. Crew, and L'Occitane, which I know, Olga, are some of your clients as well, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on, are creating their own virtual stores in the hope that consumers will spend more engagement time with their brands and, of course, spend money. With the Meta Quest 3 released at the end of last year and the Apple Vision Pro arriving this year, which I have seen many posts from you, Olga, on LinkedIn about these new headsets, so I'm eager to get your thoughts on it a little bit later on. The technology is becoming more advanced, meaning that the possibilities with virtual stores will only increase exponentially within the next 12 months. There's lots of opportunities there to be had. But let's start off with your journey, Olga. Just to give some context to our listeners, Olga used to be my student at the London College of Fashion many, many moons ago. So I'm super excited that she has come so far and specifically chosen to do a company in fashion tech, which I'm happy about as well. So from, you know, the days of you being in my classroom, Olga at LCF, tell our listeners your journey into fashion and how you landed into the creation of Imperia.
Of course, and thank you, Peter, for having me here. I'm super excited to share the insights and the journey. So it's been quite a few years since LCF indeed, and throughout my time at LCF, a few years after that as well, I was working in fashion in pretty much all the different capacities from retail to wholesale to eventually e-commerce. And particularly through my time in wholesale, I've worked with maybe 50 plus different brands, mostly luxury brands like Steve by Chloe, Valentino, and quite a few others. And there was one thing that I saw in common with all those brands that I worked with, and they all kind of hated e-commerce. And the reason they didn't love it in particular was because they were like, well, yeah, we have to do it. We have to be like keep up with the time and target young consumers, but it's so undifferentiated. Like our stores can be an absolute experience. And I remember I was working with a German brand that spent 300,000 euros on birch trees to decorate their showroom, because they wanted to create a better experience just for their buyers, not even their customers. And e-commerce just really didn't offer that. It was this kind of white page, grid of images. There was really not that much that you could do to differentiate there and to create this brand experience and true engagement, because consumers really connect more with the brand and the story behind it rather than just the product, right? Like you can buy a handbag from Zara, it will still perform the same function. So that was kind of the thing that I started noticing. And I then decided to shift gears a little bit and went into consulting at Microsoft on a fashion-based project as well, which was for Microsoft more of a exploration of what they can do for fashion tech, and gave me a great opportunity to explore all the new technologies at the time. And that was like early 2018. So as well, quite a while ago, early days of VR, the first wave of that VR hype that was there. And what it allowed me to do is really explore and then first try the VR headset. It was super cumbersome, nothing too enjoyable as an experience. It was massive, lots of cables. I think my neck hurt by the end of the experience. But I thought if we took this and made it sleeker and brought this to fashion, wouldn't it make the great shopping experience where you sit home with your nice glass of wine and enjoy a beautiful shopping experience where consumers would love it because it's more fun and more engaging and much more interesting to explore. And brands would love it because they can actually finally break that chasm of e-commerce and bring the differentiation, bring the brand experience of what they have in store and even go beyond, because you can do whatever. You can be on the moon, you can be underwater, you can be inside a crocodile, for a matter of fact. So all this kind of creative part of it really excited me. And at that point, I knew nothing about how to build it other than there are gaming engines and they should technically work. So yeah, it was kind of the very start of Imperia. So I started in 2019 with a vision to change e-commerce and the way people interact with and shop things online. And it now became an immersive commerce platform working with some of the biggest brands. So it's been an exciting journey.
I think that's super interesting how you go from, you know, fashion school, which from memory, you didn't have any technology in any of your programs, did you? You then went to retail, then decide to go do a tech company. You don't have any tech skills, as you say, or minimal tech skills. How did you find your co-founder to make all of this come to life for you?
It was actually a really lucky chance because we met on LinkedIn. So when I wanted to start this, I had this idea and kind of just very, very basic knowledge of what I might need. But at the time, I just posted a job ad looking for initially an engineer to build virtual worlds with me, because my very first project was through a family connection at the time. I got a project with a real estate company to create one of those virtual walkthroughs for luxury apartments in St. John's Wood. And the project was really big. It was something like 80K. I was 23 at the time. So it was a pretty big deal and I really didn't want to let it go. And I had absolutely no means to build it. Like I had no idea. So I was like, I'm just going to post a job ad on LinkedIn and see what happens from here. And that's how I met my co-founder. So I was really, really lucky, to be honest.
Sounds serendipitous. Did you ever think that you were going to become a founder of a startup? Was that like on your horizon? Was it like a bucket list or did it just happen?
I didn't think I'd be a founder of a startup. Like I'd never thought that I would be running a tech company. I thought I'd have a business at some point. But yeah, didn't really have particular inclination, I would say, towards tech. Even throughout my days in uni, I was very interested in technology and how it can impact fashion, retail, and because it just felt like that's where the future is. But at the same time, I never really thought that's where my future necessarily is.
Well, let's talk about Imperia then. For our listeners that don't know the platform, what is it specifically?
Imperia is an immersive commerce platform. So we help brands build virtual stores and experiences that help them drive conversion rates, consumer engagement, bring more Gen Z and younger audiences by effectively creating these virtual environments that integrate directly into their existing e-commerce channels and are accessible from any device, whether it's mobile, desktop, VR headsets as well, now Apple Vision Pro, which is launching soon. So really about bringing this brand world and the level of immersion back into e-commerce and the digital front end.
On the subject of the Apple Vision Pro, I mentioned it in the introduction. Did you pre-order it, Olga? Have you got yours yet? No, there's not released, has it yet? But by the time this episode comes out, it will have a release. Have you ordered yours?
I have, yes. I already have ordered mine. It's coming in a couple of weeks, so I'm really excited for it.
Do you think it is going to make such a difference to your business and to the space in general?
Yes, I think it will change not just Imperia, but the space overall, because Apple has this impressive power to change markets and bring things that people didn't know they needed and somehow make them incredibly popular. I think I tend to always draw a parallel between Apple Vision Pro and the iPhone moment when the iPhone came out, and a lot of the criticisms that were there back then of like who wants a $700 phone at the time. Well, now we all want a $2,000 phone. So I kind of would think the same would happen with Apple Vision Pro, just because it brings these amazing capabilities that we haven't had before, and really truly blending the digital and the physical world, which opens so many doors to not just retail, so many other opportunities as well. So I think it would be game-changing indeed.
It's pretty expensive though, Olga, you don't think?
It is expensive. I think the price will come down at some point, or they'll introduce financing and so on and so forth. I know for now it's very much targeted towards developers and early adopters and Apple fans. Nonetheless, they've sold 80,000 units in the first 15 minutes of the pre-order being opening. So yeah, like, I mean, the demand is clearly there. And even so, when we talk to brands now, I think the last couple of months since the announcement of Apple Vision Pro, our general demand on anything VR has increased 800%. So at this point, pretty much everyone's going, well, Vision Pro is launching, what do we do about it? And I think Apple is taking a really great approach to it, where it's not about gaming like it is with Meta Quest, for example. It's much more about how the device is applicable to all the other areas of your life. And that's where shopping really comes to play as well, because that's what we use phones and computers for today. So I think that's where it'll just seep into people's lives, regardless of the price tag at this point. But yes, it does, of course, feel expensive for the beginning.
Obviously, for you, 800% increase in demand for VR-related activations, that's a huge number. So obviously, the brands are seeing the potential in the glasses. For the general consumer, obviously, it's going to take a little bit of a while because of that, you know, that barrier of the cost is not necessarily that accessible right now. Obviously, for Imperia and your brands, they need that to come down for it to be successful at some point. So I think time will tell. But in terms of talking about the technology that powers the Imperia platform, what is it and how is it game-changing for the creation of virtual stores?
Yeah, so our technology is very much focusing on bringing hyper-realistic quality of 3D graphics. And by hyper-realistic, I mean kind of cinematic, really true to life, rather than replicating a physical environment or physical store. And bringing that online and making it accessible from any device, because what we've seen a lot to date is a lot of kind of almost pixelated 3D experiences or very, very gamified things that Metaverse brought to market, which didn't necessarily respond to what fashion needs in particular and retail as a whole as well. We can't buy a product that doesn't look anything like a product. So we very much focus on the quality of graphics. And I'd say Imperia earned its reputation as probably the best looking platform out there. And what we've built is a set of tools that allow us to go from a gaming engine, Unreal in particular, all the way to a fully functional interactive experience that runs across any device, loads in under 4 seconds, even if you're on 4G in situations of low connection. So we have solved a lot of that difficulty that comes to bringing actual 3D environments, 3D worlds to market. And that's where we made the decision to also launch our creator tools, which are now available to creators and studios to also build on Imperia. So that is what is really at the core of our technology. And we then expanded further into making it extremely tailored towards e-commerce and towards what brands actually need from a virtual experience. It's not just about the game. It's not just about being social, because that's what there is a lot of other platforms or things that are tailored towards, say, concerts or games are for. But e-commerce and brands and retail has their specific set of requirements so that we can actually drive loyalty, we can actually drive conversion rates and drive commerce. So that's what we really, really focus on when we think about our feature set and technology.
You mentioned there that Imperia is known for creating pixel-perfect imagery. For our listeners that haven't seen one of your activations, I would definitely recommend going to have a look, because they are very visually stunning, Olga. So hats off to you and your team. And just obviously in the book, if you do buy the book featured in chapter 5, there's some beautiful imagery as well of some of Imperia's activations. I'll just put that a little bit closer to the camera if you're watching this on the video version. In the book as well, you talk about the lead times of the technology and how it's actually fairly a smooth and quick process to create a virtual store. Can you take us through that a little bit, how you've managed to crack that code?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the very core of it is the technology and level of optimization and automation that we brought into our 3D pipeline. But in general, it takes us about 6 weeks on average to launch a virtual store from scratch and concept all the way until go live. And to be honest, the vast majority of that time is spent on the actual creative process rather than 3D building in itself. And that's where it's actually quite an exciting 6 weeks, both for us and for the brands. We often see that there's bigger and bigger teams that get involved because how excited they get about the technology, which is also great to see.
Do you have a client that you have really loved working with so far from the creative perspective?
I'd say probably Lacoste is one of the greatest clients that we have from creative perspective. L'Occitane have also been great. We usually see a very productive collaboration is where we have a great flow between ourselves and the brand because we have launched many, many virtual stores at this point and have a lot of data about what actually works, what doesn't work, how do people navigate, how do we accomplish different goals. And I think where we have very clear KPIs and intentions from the brand of what they want to achieve and creative freedom between us and them, that's when magic really happens.
Yeah, so when I interviewed you for the book, you had already done some really impressive projects. This was like, what, I think 10 months ago now, something like that. How many clients have you had now to date?
So we currently work with over 30 brands, predominantly in luxury and fashion and beauty sector, quite a few across retail as well. Lululemon, Bloomingdale's, L'Occitane, all those I think we've added since our conversation.
So you're featured in chapter 5 of the book, which is all about smart retail and stores of the future. Obviously, virtual stores is one way where retail is pushing the boundaries and pushing it forward. In the book, you discuss the process of building virtual stores with fashion brands. If anyone wants to create their own virtual store, what starting point do you advise? Is it about thinking about it from a marketing perspective first or from a retail perspective? Like, what do you recommend when you go into that creative office?
I think it's really about the overall strategy and a digital and e-commerce strategy and where you want to take that, because really, I think especially with VR advances, it comes into retail and physical stores as well, where we can spill this technology and create a truly omni-channel experience. When it comes to particularly a digital implementation of virtual stores, that's where it really should start from. What do you want to achieve with it? Because if it starts from, I want a virtual store, there will likely be disappointment because it has to be targeted towards somewhere and something. The technology is highly customizable and can be built around different use cases, whether we want to focus on engagement or on conversion or on bringing younger audiences or building loyalty. Like we've integrated loyalty schemes with quite a few of our clients and created token-gated rooms in virtual stores. So all those types of features and functionalities really address particular problems, particular KPIs. So I think the first part of it is the digital strategy in the long run and how can a virtual store help you do that? Because this is something that we can also help discover. The other part is real longer term strategic thinking, because what we see a lot is where a brand would want to launch a virtual store as a particular campaign. It will only last a couple months. They will not think about marketing or promoting it either. So it's kind of like, I put a virtual store out there and people are going to come, which doesn't really happen. Same as with physical stores. If you just open one, don't tell anyone about it. They probably won't come. So it's a similar process where they do need promotion, bringing in social media and so on. We now have our virtual stores SEO trackable. So all the products within them come up on Google search as well, which is a great addition to help drive traffic. So thinking about this kind of long-term strategy and evolving the virtual store concept as well as time goes on, because we would typically launch and reiterate a lot in the first 3 months of the virtual flagship, where we really collect the data, we see how the particular consumers of that particular brand are acting and behaving in that virtual store, and then adjust accordingly. And that's where like the really, really powerful part of the technology and having so much data comes into play.
Do you get many clients coming to you or potential clients coming to you, or go, you know, tell the truth? Do they go, I just want a virtual store, make it happen. Does that happen quite
often? It happens a lot. Yes, it happens a lot. It happens a lot more than you think. So, yeah.
What do you do? Like, what do you do in that situation, Olga?
We typically try and discover what they might want to achieve, because also we want them to be happy and be successful with it. But if they don't know what's going to be, what success looks like for them, we try and help them discover it, because there are indeed cases where people are like, this is really cool, this looks amazing, I just want it. And we try and kind of bring it to the point where there's actual measurable set of KPIs that we can deliver on, beyond just the fact that it is really cool, because, well, it is really cool.
When we're talking about fashion tech and fashion brands, when I speak to fashion corporates, quite often they're doing it because it's cool and for PR purposes, and virtual stores definitely falls into that category. You know, it looks cool, and I can imagine that you have many people coming to you just to have that cool factor. I think there was something interesting that you said there, that it's not just about launching and then seeing what happens. It's also about iterating that virtual store, specifically at the start, to improve it. At that moment in time, how did the fashion brands and their teams react when you're saying, like, okay, this isn't working, we need to iterate in some way?
Usually by that point, we would have a really open relationship. And at the same time, we're very much working towards building this trust where we can say, hey, look, this entry video, whatever is happening in the beginning, is losing a lot of traffic. So we can actually remove it and restructure the experience in a matter of a couple hours and remove the issue. The same thing comes with product placement and merchandising, where they typically would have access to our CMS platform to actually manage what's happening within their virtual store. So it would typically be a combination of us having a trigger, hey, this is not working, or people are not looking at this product, we might want to push it to a different place in the store, and kind of executing together on the feedback and data that we're seeing.
Really interesting to see how they, by that point, are open to reiterating on the project. Because I can imagine, you know, for some of the people, it can be a little bit of a touchy subject when they spend so much time making it look perfect, X, Y, Z, and then you're like, this isn't working, we've launched it, and the data's telling us that the entry video is rubbish, basically, and we need to remove it. So in terms of your clients, though, I'm just going to say some names. You've had Dior, you've had Harrods, you've had Ralph Lauren, you've had Lacoste. At the start, we mentioned L'Occitane as well. So you have some really impressive clients, Olga. And I remember you saying to me during the interview for the book that Lacoste was one of your favorite projects to date. You've said now, actually, that hasn't changed. What excites you with working with somebody like Lacoste, that crocodile, you know, in virtual reality? What made you, you know, come to life about that project?
As a founder and someone working with those brands as well, I think you always blend the end output with the process in your mind and how much you like the people and the teams behind it as well. And I'd say personally, I shop from almost every virtual store that we have. And something that I always find really nice is when either my friends or family would go to me, like, I don't know, I remember my mom going to me like, oh, I thought L'Occitane wasn't really there on the map anymore, but I saw the virtual store and I bought so many things because I loved it. So it's those kind of reactions that really connect me with it. And at the same time, now with Imperia being at the size that it is, it kind of brought me to the point where I don't see every single project until we come to a point of launch. And that's where, like, I remember when I saw L'Occitane, I was like, whoa, guys, this is incredible. Like, how did we do this? So I think this, like, point of being really, really impressed with what we've done, because I haven't seen the process necessarily every step of the way, even though I'm still very involved, is what really excites me. And at the same time, with particularly Lacoste, it was the same as L'Occitane, is the openness to having different features and functionalities. So with Lacoste, we integrated with their loyalty scheme, and we had the NFT access gating room, plus the mini game that then collected emails and created sort of a raffle for people to win discount codes. So those types of functionalities and things that go beyond just shopping. With L'Occitane, we had, particularly with the one that launched at Christmas, this customizable Christmas postcard that they could create in a virtual store, share with their friends, and bring more people back into the store, but also share their kind of custom wish list. So those types of things that both drive activity and drive commerce, but also create much more value from a virtual store beyond just like, here's a store and you shop there. You actually interact with so many other things that are really targeted towards making the consumer more engaged. So I'd say those would probably be the core reasons that why I would really come connected with one of the projects.
Does your mother go into every store, Olga? You mentioned that she went shopping.
I mean, she does go into every one. I don't get this is absolutely incredible for every single one. I think when it first started, it took quite a long time for me to explain to my parents what I'm actually doing.
Yeah, same for me, to be honest, Olga. Like, when it comes to fashion tech, for anyone not in the industry, they're just like, what is happening? What is this? And why is this related to fashion? So I get where you're coming from. I love the fact that your mother still goes and checks every project and goes shopping as well, which is, very cute. From a numbers perspective, in the book, you mentioned an average of 11 minutes engagement time in your stores, a 73% uplift on conversion rates, and about 750% ROI. Have these numbers changed? Do they still hold true?
They still hold true, very much so. I think generally when it comes to engagement time in particular, it slightly does depend on the amount of content in the virtual store and the size of the experience as well. Because if we're launching something much smaller, like a single room experience with maybe just one feature, we would expect something between 7 to 9 minutes. But generally with some of our larger experiences, like whether Lacoste or Bloomingdale's or L'Occitane, consistently hit over 11 minutes. So that's always really great to see.
And when you're speaking to a brand about KPIs or expected KPIs, is there something that you want them to focus more than the other on, or is it depending on the brand itself?
It really depends on the brand and what they want to achieve and where they are right now. Because something that we usually always highlight is, well, if you want to, say, target Gen Z, for example, and bring in more younger audiences, if the only thing you're doing about it is a virtual store, it will bring results, but it likely you will need to do more activities around your brand and product selection, what other things that you're doing, like, say, what Lacoste is doing, and kind of almost a complete rebrand that they've gone through over the last couple of years. So we would usually highlight both what they could strive for based on their overall strategy. Like, I think usually a great approach is, if the brand doesn't really know what to expect, to walk us through what is their overall goals for the business, regardless of whether we're looking at virtual store or not. And we can then find and kind of slot the pieces of the puzzle on what would the good KPIs look like. And at the same time, throughout the process, if we are met with resistance on certain design decisions or things that the brand wants to do, we would always flag as well, like, hey, you wanted this KPI, we should really do it this way. If we do it the way that you want, we will likely achieve this and this and this type of numbers. So I think it's just about transparency and setting correct expectations for what you're doing.
So let's talk about your entrepreneur experience then, Olga. What has been the hardest part of the Imperia journey to date?
Oh gosh, there's been a lot of hard parts. I think it's easy to talk about the highlights, but I think any founder journey always gets a lot of harder parts, whether it's going through a procurement process with brands or a deal you really want is falling apart, or it's fundraising process, which is always hard for any founder. I don't think I've heard of anyone going, I really love fundraising and it's like my favorite thing in the world. So there's definitely been a lot of ups and downs, but that only makes it more exciting.
What would you say has been the hardest part though?
I guess building the team is the most rewarding and the hardest part at the same time, because you're kind of, well, you have to be open-minded and trust people, but also make sure you're keeping on top of things. And finding great talent is always a challenge. Like, people always say, oh, well, everyone's getting laid off these days, it's easier to find great talent. That's not true, because great talent never gets laid off. So I think that's kind of the premise where I'm really, really lucky with my team and really grateful for what we've been able to build with my co-founder and with my management team together. Because that's where, if you have a great team behind you and a great team building the vision, the product is going to be great, the clients are going to love you, and everything else is just going to kind of fall into place, and all the other challenges in the end are easier to overcome together.
I completely agree with that, Olga. The team makes everything in a startup. And when I'm obviously meeting startups or looking at pitch decks, that team slide, and though, even though it's, you know, one slide in the deck, of course, the business idea itself is very important, but especially at the early stage level, the team is going to make or break that startup specifically. Would you have done anything differently then, Olga, on your journey?
Well, I think if I was starting another company, I would definitely get where we got now much quicker because of all the things that I know now. So I think some of the decisions that I've made, maybe some hiring decisions or some of the engineering decisions we've done, we probably would have done differently. At the same time, we tend to view things as, well, I'm a first-time founder, so a lot of things are going to go wrong. And even when I'm 25th-time founder, things are still going to go wrong because every business is different, every situation is unique, and you also have to adapt to market conditions all the time. Because what we've seen in 2022 was a complete boom on everything metaverse that has then died down last year, which actually was quite good because we started seeing people being more consistent with things and strategic versus kind of just driven by the hype. So I think those kind of things and just being, yeah, adaptability is probably the greatest lesson of any startup journey.
So what's next for Imperia then? What's happening?
We're now launching our creator toolkit. So we're really, really excited to enable everyone outside of Imperia and 3D artists, studios, creators, even brands themselves that have 3D teams to build on the platform. Because up until now, we were quite reserved to having our own team build the spaces and just for the brands to use our CMS platform to manage the spaces. But we're now bringing effectively everything we've learned about 3D and the level of optimization and how fast we can do it and opening it up to everyone else. And just what we're super, super excited about, because I think the more experiences are out there and the easier it is to build them, because generally to build a virtual experience without support of tools would take you somewhere around 3 to 6 months. You would need at least 6-7 people, particularly 3D artists, coders, QAs, so many people to just execute one single experience versus with what we built, we can do it with one single 3D artist and in a matter of a couple of days. So that's something that we're really, really excited about. Our Vision Pro product is what we're also buzzing about, because we've been working on that prototype pretty much from the moment of the announcement of Vision Pro coming all the way until now. So that's been really exciting and very much focusing on, you know, building more functionality into the platform and bringing even more value.
So by the time this episode comes out, it means that people out there can start playing with the Imperia platform then.
Exactly.
Which is pretty exciting. Is it your ambition then to be something like a Shopify or a Squarespace for virtual stores?
Yes, exactly. So I'd say when I describe my vision to people, especially outside of fashion, we do indeed aim to be a kind of Shopify version of e-commerce. And now going a bit deeper, even outside of e-commerce, with the 3D tools that we are launching, really supporting the creator industry, the fashion industry, in building e-commerce in the store front end of the future.
Sounds amazing. So I just want to finish off this episode with a quick fire round of questions. The first answer that comes to your head. Are you ready, Olga?
Yes, I am.
Have you read Fashion Tech Applied yet?
Not yet, but I can't wait to get my hands on it.
It's coming very soon to you. What's your favorite? Fashion, retail, or art for virtual stores?
Definitely fashion. I'm a bit of a fashion addict, so anything to do with clothes and accessories.
So very much your roots then, basically, from our roots of talking about fashion in class. Last virtual store you shopped from?
In L'Occitane.
L'Occitane. One brand that you'd like to work with?
Louis Vuitton.
Best piece of advice for budding entrepreneurs?
Trust your intuition. Keep your ears and mind open, but trust yourself more than anything else.
Thank you so much for your time, Olga.
Absolute pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to click follow to keep up to date with the latest episodes. And if you like this episode, please give us a review. If you want us to feature a specific theme or guest, please give us a message at beyondform.io. I will see you very soon.